Well, good morning, everybody. It's a beautiful, beautiful day. We're thankful for that. Just a couple announcements before Mass, or before the homily. We've got in the pews today disaster relief envelopes that you could just put into the normal, the collection. We won't have a second collection, but you just put that in the first one. That's to help the folks who are recovering from Hurricane Florence and who will be recovering from future hurricanes in this year. So help out as you can. Also, after Mass, we have a bunch of things going on. In the gym, there will be volleyball practice. Downstairs, there's going to be a little reception for those who were just confirmed recently here from St. Joe. And we also have gifts for them downstairs, certificates, things like that. We also have in the rectory will be Deacon Tom's book study on My Life with the Saints. We've also got a couple Hispanic groups going on too, so it's great. Many good things. I wanted to think a little bit about marriage today because that's what our readings are about. Up until this point in Scripture, our first reading is from the second book of Genesis. Up until this point, God kept making things and He said, it is good, it is good. He made the light, it was good. He made the sea, it was good. He made the land, it was good. Today we have the first not good, and that is man being alone. God found that it was not good for man to be alone. We see in the first pages of the Bible, the first couple, the first marriage, Adam and Eve. We see in the last page of the Bible, talks about the wedding feast of heaven. And when God looks for a way to describe the promised land of heaven and how much love there is there, He uses words of marriage. And which is a beautiful thought. The first miracle Jesus ever works that we have a record of is at a wedding, the wedding feast Cana. So we know that marriage is important to God. That's one thing we know about marriage. We also know that as Christians, as Catholics, marriage is sacramental, which means that whenever we would say that as Catholics, we say there are seven ways that God becomes particularly present. Like in a special way. God is present everywhere, but we say that there are seven big ways, and those are the sacraments, and marriage is one of them. A sacrament is saying God is present here. And in a marriage, in the sacrament of marriage, God is present there in a beautiful kind of way. Yesterday I had a wedding here, and there's a line in the nuptial blessing. That's that beautiful prayer. Right after the Our Father, before everybody gives peace and receives communion, there's a nuptial blessing over the couple. And there's a really cool line in there where it talks about how the couple is to be Christ's presence to each other. So that if ever the woman is looking for Jesus, she shouldn't have to look beyond her husband, who gives himself over to her, who sacrifices for her, who puts her first, who loves her in the sacrificial way that we see Jesus on the cross. The same with the other way. Whenever the man is looking for Jesus, he should only have to look to his wife. I thought that line was super beautiful. The sacrament of matrimony is a beautiful thing where God is particularly present for the whole of life. I wanted to just kind of spell out like marriage 101, what constitutes marriage in the Catholic Church, because I think it's very important. There's three things that are required for a marriage in the Catholic Church. And the first of them is that there are no impediments. So, for example, I could not go get married because the fact I'm a priest is an impediment. Do you know one day I was having a kind of rough time in seminary and I went to the rector. And I said, I think I'm going to go out and get married. I'm done with this seminary thing. And he looked at me. He said, Michael, no woman deserves you. At first, I kind of took it. But then I was like, oh, no, that's not what he meant. You know. But anyway, that would be an impediment. Another impediment is if there's no love. We would say that love is a pretty important ingredient in marriage. Another impediment is if there were a former marriage on the part of one of the spouses that has not received an annulment. That would be an impediment. Another impediment might be if you're related. I can't go marry my sister. for example. Those are some impediments. So that's one requirement. The second requirement is that it has to be in the right form. A Catholic is bound by form, which means that to get married as a Catholic, you have to get married in the church in front of the priest. Now, sometimes people say, Father, why do I have to get married in the church? I want to go get married on the beach. A friend of mine just got married on the cliff. And whatever. But so people say, why? And I'm like, why would you not want to? You know, yesterday, this couple, their first meal together was at the table of Jesus. And how cool is that? And they knelt in front of the tabernacle. They knelt in front of Jesus, the one that brought them together. We believe, right, that we don't just happen to meet, that it is Jesus that brings us together. And so this couple knelt down in front of the one that brought them together and consecrated their life together to Jesus. We always say that it's important, you know, the building is important. We get all the sacraments in the church building, but it's not for the sake of the building. It's because the building is a symbol of something bigger, which is the body of Jesus. And we live our lives in the body of Jesus. And so that's why we get married in the body of Jesus. The third thing that is required is consent, which means you have to know what you're getting into. You have to want to get into it. And you have to declare it. Freely. So, for example, if I show up drunk to my wedding day and my consent is compromised, which is why I always tell couples that that's something you do later in moderation, but you don't do anything before, is because it would compromise your consent. Another thing is if a couple, sometimes couples come into marriage not really knowing what the sacrament of matrimony really is, which is why we always try to have good preparation. But I'm ashamed to say that sometimes in the past, preparation has not always been, you know, good in churches all around. And so that's something that we as a church are trying to respond to and do better marriage preparation so that people really know what they're getting into. And when they exchange vows, they are saying, yes, I want this. I know exactly what this is. I want to be in a holy marriage, and I want this to be Christ-centered. I want to give myself over for the whole rest of my life, and I want there to be children, all these things. And that's consent. And so if somebody had a gun to somebody on the wedding day, say you do this or pay the price, right, there would be a question of consent there, pretty big. So those are the three things, the three ingredients that you have to have to have to be considered married in the church. And an annulment comes around when the church kind of looks and says, well, maybe one of those three things was not there. You know, maybe there was no love. Maybe one of the spouses didn't know what they were getting into. Maybe, you know, one of them used to be a priest. I don't know. Whatever. But like, there's this thing that goes on, this annulment process, which is actually a very healing process. And the annulment is the church's way of saying, you got a bad deal. And you shouldn't have to live in that for the rest of your life. And so it's a gift. There's a few, I think there's some misconceptions out there about different things in this topic. And I just wanted to clear them up. One of them is that it costs money to have an annulment. That's not true. It doesn't. It used to be a small fee just because it's a whole office of people that deal with annulments in the diocese. And it's a big office, you know. And so, but they found other ways to fund that. So it doesn't cost money. The other thing is that the other party doesn't have to be on board with it. You know, the ex doesn't have to be on board with the thing. It goes faster if they are, but it's so if they're not, still go through. The grounds are still there. They're still there. And so that's another misconception. Another misconception is that if you're divorced and not remarried, that you can't receive communion. And that's not true. If you're divorced and not remarried, you can receive communion. And so I don't know. I think it's a beautiful thing, marriage. It gets messy, doesn't it? And life gets messy. For me, there's my way to heaven is the priesthood. For a lot of people, the majority of people, their way to heaven is marriage. and in particular the person that God has planted in their life. If you need help with an annulment, or you need help getting married in the church, come talk. We'll get it all worked out. It's worth it to be in the body of the good Lord in this way. So we give the Lord thanks for marriage. We thank God for giving us each other. God invented marriage because it's at the service of the most important thing, which is love. And that's why it's such a big deal to Him. It's because it is at the service of that great command that we should all love and that we should be loved. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.